Thank you, Pastor Jim. If you have your Bible, go with me. If you have a Bible today, if you don't have a Bible, they'll put it on the screens. Acts 20, we'll start in verse 8. Before we do that, so you can take your finger and you can go there. But before we do that, I was on my way in today, and I got some news over the week. It's been a minute since I've preached on a Sunday, so I'm glad to see everyone here. If you're a first-time guest, I'm Pastor Troy. Pastor Kathan's not with us. He had surgery, but he's doing really good, as Pastor Jim said. But it's been a minute since I heard a testimony of healing. It's been a minute. It's been a minute, church. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. It's gone too long. And so as I was driving in today, I got some news this week. They were not testimonies of healing. They were bad reports. I got bad reports over the week, you know. I got one last night. I got two last night, and then a couple, you know, earlier in the week. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? You know what? We need to start talking about what God is doing. What is God doing? Is God doing something? Yes, he's doing something. I was driving in today, and there's this sign. There's this sign that's lifted high up off the highway. I mean, as high as you can get. You can see it from miles away as you're driving on 90. And that sign, it's lit up in red, which is almost blasphemous to me that it would be lit up in red and glowing for everyone to see. And as soon as I come over the crest, I see the sign, and it says cancer. And it's just lit up, and it's just lit up for the entire region to see. It's almost like a proclamation over the region. And as soon as I saw it, you know, my spirit began to just rumble inside. I just got all kind of, oh, it's just like, oh, I'm tired of seeing this. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of thinking about it. I'm just tired, and tired of it. And so I said, you know, this is how we overcome the enemy in our days. This is how we overcome him. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. There is a risen Lamb. He's not dead anymore. He rose from the dead. He holds all the keys to sickness, disease, death. He just raised up out of the grave, and he overcame that disease. He overcame that thing that's raised up over the highway. And then my spirit began to grumble some more, and I said, God, give me a scripture. I need to hang my heart upon your word. Your word is everlasting, and it shall not fail. And so I need an everlasting word to stand against that thing that's proclaimed over this region, because I can't allow it to stay there anymore. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Somebody that's been healed, stand to your feet and give God praise right now. I mean, somebody in this room has been healed of cancer. Stand to your feet and praise him. I mean, this region needs to know that he is not dead. He is alive. He is alive. You're watching online. I want you to know, cancer does not win. Jesus wins. If a doctor told you that, he's lying. He's a liar. He don't know what Jesus did. He don't know the power of the resurrection. And then I got this word as I was sitting there. I'm like, God, what's the word? Well, give me a word. Give me a word. And this is what he gave me. He said, Proverbs 18:10, go there. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It lifts me out of where I am, and it brings me up. It brings me way up here, and it begins to proclaim that I am safe. The name of the Lord, his name is Jesus. And I declare the name of Jesus over this region. I come against sickness. I come against disease, and I lift up higher than that sign. I lift up higher than that sign. The name of Jesus. I lift it over your children. I lift it over your family. I lift up the name of Jesus over this region. I declare cancer shall not win in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew, I had to get that out. That was bothering me. I get that out. Come on, bless him. Y'all are in for a ride today. Been a minute. Yeah, I picked up y'all. I've been in Texas, so I picked up y'all. I'm going to use it a little bit. Acts 20. That's verse 8. Let's start there. It says this. I like to read from paper nowadays. I guess that something's happening to me. I'm getting older. It says there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man, and his name was Eutychus. And Eutychus was sinking into a deep sleep, and he was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continues speaking, he fell down from the third story, and he was taken up dead. But Paul, I'm going to add some commentary now, forgive me. But it says Paul went over to him. And if Paul went over to him, he had to stop what he was doing to go over to him. So Paul went over to him. He went down and he fell on him. He went down and fell upon him. And he embraced him. And he said, "Do not trouble yourself, for this boy is not dead. He's alive. His life is in him. He's not dead. He fell asleep, but he's not dead. He had a fall, but he's not dead. He just fell out the window. And he fell down and he was taken up dead. And when he came up, they broke bread." Something about that bread. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the bread. Oh, that bread. There's something about you, Jesus. He said he gave him some bread, and he ate it. And they talked a long while, even till daybreak. And then he departed, and they brought the young man in alive. 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 I don't know where your kids are right now, but they brought the young man in alive. I don't know who's in the hospital, but they brought the young man in alive. They brought him in alive. And they weren't a little bit comforted. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. It's so alive. It's so alive. Your word's speaking even now. Oh, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us. Open hearts and minds, oh God. Bring us to a place. Bring us to a place where we're drowsy no more. Where we sleep no longer. We awake now, Lord. Speak, for we're listening. We're like young Samuel. We heard the word of the Lord. It's raised us. Our ears are awake to the Spirit of the living God now. And so speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I hear the Lord declaring that there's a window of opportunity available to us in this season. It's almost prophetic, you know, that expression, there's a window of opportunity. It suggests that windows don't remain open, that inevitably windows close. And as the Lord declares now that there's this window and it is open. And as windows are open, he says there's opportunities when these windows are open. When windows are open, the Spirit of the Lord is declaring, when the windows of heaven open up, I'll pour out for you such a blessing that you will not be able to contain them. When the windows of your life begin to open up, when the windows of your life begin to break open, there are these opportunities that exist for us. There are these moments that we can take advantage of in these moments when the windows of life are open. The windows of life, you know, these things that, you know, it's like God is declaring we're on the inside of something and we're looking out, and he's given us this advantage. He's given us a vantage point where he's taken us high, and we'll get there in a little bit, but he's opened the window. This window is now open for you and I, and there is something that's in the window. There's something to find in your window. You have a window. There's a window. And it says that, you see, that it said in these windows, there's these windows of opportunity. Heaven's war plan is being released in these windows. The Apostle Paul, he is the Apostle. He's the Apostle Paul. He was the spokesperson of the government of heaven represented on the earth. And he, in this moment, in the text is releasing the government of heaven, the war plan of heaven. He's proclaiming the war plan of heaven. He's letting it go. He's letting it go. And he's letting it go so much so that he's like, listen, there's this window of opportunity that I'm in right now. Paul understood the window of opportunity. So that way he understood it so much so that he said, listen, we have to take advantage of this window. So I'm not going to stop releasing heaven until I get all of it released. I mean, I'm going to preach late. I'm going to go long. I'm going to let you have all of it. Paul was, he was committed to releasing all that heaven had. I mean, he was just listening. He was just like, listen, I'm not going to sleep. Don't you fall asleep on God. So I'm going to release heaven for you. And this is a moment Paul recognized it. He said, I have a responsibility to the government of heaven to let it go in this window. He understood what he was doing. So there's these moments of opportunity where heaven's government is being released. I want you to know that the government, there's a window being opened for the government for your dreams. For your dreams. Eutychus climbed up into that window. When he climbed up into that window represented something to Eutychus. That window, it represented something to Eutychus. It says he climbed up into the third story. That means there was probably a lot of people in the room. And he was just trying to find, you would think that he was just trying to find some room so he could be present as the government of heaven was being released, as the war plan of heaven was being released, as the strategery of heaven was being released, as the places of heaven were illuminating the dark places of the earth, as the burning one was being released to the heaven. You'd think that he would stay awake and stay alert to the government, to the plans, to the strategy, but it doesn't say he did that. It says that he climbed as high as he could. He took advantage of the position. He got as high as he could. And he climbed in the window. And when he climbed in that window, he started looking out that window. He started peering out of that window. And as he began to peer out that window represented his dreams. And he began to dream. He began to imagine his life in God. And oftentimes, we come together and we assemble in a place and we come in and we find the highest place we can. We find the strong tower. It's found in his presence. And so we love his presence. And we love to climb as high as we can when his presence is available. I mean, when it's available, we take advantage of it, don't we? I mean, when his tangible manifested presence is in the room, we will climb as high as we can. And we'll climb into that thing. And we'll be like, oh God, I can see now. I can see. I couldn't see when I was down there on the first floor because the devil got a window too. You know, he has a window. He's got a window and it's on the first floor. And really, when you look out his window, you can't see that much out there. You can only see so far. But those who find the third floor in Jesus, when you begin to climb up high in Jesus, suddenly now you begin to see a whole lot more than you used to before. Now your heart begins to dream. And that window represents the dreams of God that he has for your life. And some of us today, we need to realize those dreams again. I mean, some of us been sleeping in the window, but there's some in the room today that you've got to find that high place in Jesus, and you've got to rest there for a while. I mean, you've just got to take your place, and you've just got to nestle up to that place, and you got to begin to dream again. You got to open up the window of heaven, and you got to begin to look out onto your horizon, and then to begin to prophetically declare what heaven is suggesting your tomorrow will look like. And I'm here to tell you, your tomorrow does not look like sickness and premature death. Your children don't look like. I just need you to open up the window for a minute and just begin to look out and see your children as Jesus sees your children. He doesn't see them addicted to heroin. I got news for you. I got news for you. I know the enemy would like you to look at this window down here. And when you get down here, you're down in the basement. And when you ever You ever open the window in the basement? You ask yourself, why is there a window in the basement? I mean, mostly when I look out my window in the basement, all I see is dirt. There's a toad that I've named Frank that lives in... He got a name, y'all. His name's Frank. He lives in the back left basement window. But you open that basement window and you look out that basement window and you know what you see? Nothing. All you see, you can see for about to the swing set. That's all you can see. All you see is the perspective of hell. All you can see is the circumstance. All you can see is the pain. All you can see is the affliction. All you can see is the cancer. All you can see is divorce. All you can see is heartache. All you can see is depression. I mean, your mind is so, the reflection you're looking at is like, where is Jesus? I can't, even if I open a window, I can't see him. But the Bible says that Eutychus climbed up to the top floor. He got as high as he could. And it's time for a generation in the church, in the body. It's time for you and I to get up high. Find the fortified place in Jesus. It says that Eutychus looked out that window and he started to dream. I'm adding my commentary now. He started to dream. He started to dream with you, with me right now. Close your eyes and dream again. Come on, dream again. What's he said? Paul said by the prophecies previously made, fight the good fight of faith. There's some prophetic words been spoken over your life long time ago, and God's reminding you of them. God's declaring them over your life. He said, I want you to hold tight to the visions and the dreams of heaven. I want you to look out with longing eyes into the future, and I want you to behold by faith the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There is some goodness of the Lord in the land of the living that's out there on the horizon. If we just lift our eyes to the hill from which our help comes from, if we just begin to lift our eyes up high and begin to look out long, we'll begin to see the salvation of the Lord coming to us. So we got to find him, church. If you're down and depressed and you're in agony and you say, I just look around and all I see is desolation. I see ruined buildings. I just want to remind you what the prophet said. He said, you shall rebuild the age-old ruins. You're going to rebuild them. They'll be called streets to dwell in by the righteous, and the righteous are going to fill them. But you got to get high so you can see what God sees. You got to get in the strong tower of Christ, in the strong tower, in the safe place, in the place of revelation. You got to get there. You get overcome. You ever get overcome? Every once in a while I get overcome. And you overcome. And you start, you know what you do when you get overcome? You start tail spinning. You start. And you're back in the basement. And you're back in the basement. And you're like, God, how did I get back in this basement? I mean, I saw it for a minute. I saw it. I lifted my eyes and I saw what you saw. I looked by faith, and there were these flashes. There were these flashes of life. There were these flashes of healing. There was these flashes of purpose for my life. I saw myself as you see me. Suddenly I was encouraged. When I was in that high place, that safe place, that strong tower, that strong tower was stronger than my weakness. I got to get back to that place so I can see once again what you see. And there's a generation that needs you to see it. Guys, I'm just here to tell you, family, there's a generation that needs you to see it. I don't live with my feet in this place. I just want to tell you, I live with my feet bound to the earth. I'm familiar with the pain and the heartache of heroin addiction. It's hit my family. I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with the pain and the heartache of premature death. Just the other day, a 24-year-old girl that was related to me died from it. So I'm living in it. And I said, God, I got to get back. I got to get back. I got to get out of this place. I got to stop seeing the world that way. I got to climb back up in the window. And I got to start seeing real clear once again. I can't live down there for too long. So we got to get up here. We spend too much time down there. You got to get up, church. You got to get up. That's why you got to get here. You say, I don't need to go to church. That is the foulest statement ever. I just want to tell you that. If you're watching from home, I just want to tell you, you better get your behind the church. Because, and let me tell you why. I'm oh, Jesus. Like I'm talking to Tristan, Caleb, get you behind the church. I'm talking, they're my kids. So I can. Let me tell you why. That statement is the most antichrist statement ever. I don't need the church. I don't need to come to church. You know what you're saying? I just want you to know, you know what you're saying? Jesus, your bride is ugly. Your bride is ugly, her feet stink, and she don't believe in you. You're dogging the church. And the church is the thing. Just so you know, the church is the reason Christ strung himself wide, hung upon a cruel cross, and died. He died so that way the church could be redeemed in the earth, so he could come back for his bride. He's looking to come back to his bride. And so every time I hear somebody say that stupid statement, I'm like, do you not understand? That is the epitome of insult to Jesus, your Savior, the one you make claim to. It is the epitome of insult to him. So don't miss church. Because truth be told, church is the place most often where we climb high. You can say it's not, but you all know it's true. You all know it's true. The moments when you've seen clearest in your life happened in that pew. Happened when we gathered together corporately. If you weren't here Thursday, listen, go listen to it and come this Thursday. Because Thursday I began to talk about the presence and what happens when we pursue presence. And presence, it needs to be pursued with a willing volition and an act of forceful advancement in the kingdom. It doesn't just come to you. You see, we got this thing. Now I'm going to leave here for a second. We got this thing where we believe, like Jonah, that it is the Lord's responsibility to throw us in the sea. But listen, it was not the Lord's responsibility. Jonah was waiting around for the Lord to do what Jonah knew he should have done. He should have threw himself in the sea. He should have thrown himself all the way into God's will, but he didn't. He said, listen, I know the secret to making this storm cease. And we know the secrets to making storms cease, but we refuse to put ourselves completely in the sea of God. We refuse them. We refuse them. We refuse them. And as we're refusing them, everybody in the boat with us is caught in the middle of this storm. They are caught in the middle of this storm because we refuse to do what we're only able to do. And God will not throw you in the sea, sir, ma'am. He will not throw you in the sea. You've got to throw yourself in that sea. God said, he looked at his boys. He said, listen, fam, if you want this storm to cease, you better throw me in the sea, but I'm not doing it for you. And what? And so we got a generation. We got a... I love y'all, but we're naive to believe that God will throw us and force us. We're naive to believe it, and yet, no, more so, we're recklessly irresponsible in doing it. Back to the message. And so Eutychus climbed up, and if you've not climbed up in the while, this is the place to do it. Begin to dream again in the Lord. But it says that it would have been good if Eutychus would have just dreamed in the Lord and stayed present in Paul. If he'd have dreamed in the Lord and stayed present in the government of heaven that was being released, something would have happened. Had he just stayed present, but we look out with longing eyes and we fall in love with the dream and we let go of the present moment. We let go of what God's doing now and we look like, God, that's what I want because that's me out there. And we neglect what's happening right here to the person that the phone call that you got, the prayer request that came in, all of the war plan of heaven that's being released now is neglected because we get up into the window and we fall in love with the dream. We fall in love with that which only belongs to me, and we forsake and neglect this moment. And heaven's being released. Heaven's being released. Paul is releasing the government of heaven. He's declaring there is something being released in this moment. He's releasing stuff in this moment. And I want you to know, church, that what is being released now is a shovel for your dream. Yeah, what is being released now is really a tool for you to use and put in your shed for when your dream becomes reality. And God, listen, God wants all of your dreams to become a reality. But he can't, here's what we do. We delay our dreams because we neglect God's government. And our dreams need government. If we're ever going to get to a place where we can sustain the dream of God, if we're ever going to get to a, listen, church, if you're ever going to get to that high place, that place you saw up here, then you need to strengthen yourself in the present moment. There has to be a strengthening of our spirit man to sustain the dream of the Lord. Because if you wearied yourself running with footmen, if you became weary running with mere men, then what business do you have trying to run with horses? Jeremiah said, you better stay out of horse land and conquer man land. Hey, man land, you're wearying in man land. Horse land will just beat you up. And so if this down here got you wore out, I mean, if this down here, this little thing, if we can't love our wives, church, Okay, I won't go there anymore. If we can't talk to our kids and discipline our children where they don't tell us whether they're going to church or not. I heard somebody say that. I said, wait a minute. You let your kids decide that? Okay, well, see, the footmen are going to wear you out. The horses, you don't even bother. Let's master the present. And so Eutychus, he fell asleep on God. He fell asleep on God. And windows are a dangerous place to take a nap. If you're in your window and you've been there for a while, and windows will make you frustrated. Listen, can I tell you? There's something in my genetic code that makes me repulse playing not to lose. Can you know there's a difference between playing not to lose and playing to win? I don't know if you know the difference, but I'm getting ready to explain it. Playing to win involves risk. Church, I'm telling you, you are sitting in a place that used to be covered in grass. You're sitting in a field right now that was actuated by faith. By faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You did not see this place 20 years ago. No, you didn't see it. And there arose a man named Lewis Caton, and he went from playing not to lose, and he said, "Listen, we're gonna play to win now, and we're gonna take a risk by faith." I can see it in my mind, but not in the natural. And what I see in my spirit is more real than that. And you and I have got to get to the place where we stop playing it safe. Now, When this happens, then my dreams will come true. When this happens, then my dreams will come true. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. That's not the way it worked. God said, if you take a risk, I'll reward it. I reward faith. I'm a rewarder of faith. I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek after me. And God says, you're living over here in the land of certainty way too much. You're dependent upon you way too much. And there's nothing for me to do until you take a risk. And your dreams and my dreams require risk. They require risk. They are dangerous things. Can I tell you that when you get up into a window, it's dangerous. You get up into that window, it's dangerous. It's not. This walk of faith is not for the lighthearted. This isn't for you to toy with. I mean, this thing will move you from a place of playing not to lose to a place where you bet the house. I mean, you go all in, as they say. You bet the house. I mean, you shove all the chips out on the table and you say, I'm all in. I'm going for God or I'm going for nothing. Yeah. I'd rather die in faith than live in doubt. That's what I said. I'd rather die in my faith than live over there in doubt land. And some of us, we've been up in this window for way too long, church. We've been in this window and we've grown frustrated. And listen, I know what frustration feels like. I know what it's like to look out there and see the moment, see the dream. I know what it's like to look out and see 30,000, 300,000. I know what it's like to look out there and see it. But I can't get frustrated. I can't allow what I see on the horizon. I can't fall in love with that so much so that I neglect the prayer that came in last night. Then I neglect the assignment that's coming in right now. And suddenly, before you know it, I get sleepy in the Lord. I get tired with what's going on in the house of the Lord. I get so tired of it. I get sick and tired of it. I'm just leaving here. I'm taking my stuff and I'm going somewhere else. I'm going. I'm tired. You fell asleep in your dream. You fell asleep in the window. Time to wake up before you fall down. Time to wake up. John, you better wake up before you fall down and break your neck. You're going to break your neck looking out that window. Heaven's being released right now. There are assignments. There are people. I love when people ask me this. What can I do, Pastor Troy? What can I do? I met with Nicole the other day. What do you want to do? I said, well, how deep do you want to go? I said, because I'll overwhelm you. And a lot of times I hold back, but I'll overwhelm you. And she looked back at me. She said, you need to raise up a posse of people for this stuff that you're talking about. I said, I know, right? That's what I'm saying. But it's living with an awareness of the government of heaven that's being released. And if you can't handle this responsibility, what makes you think you can handle this responsibility? I mean, if you can't handle... I mean, if our Joshua Kids program can't run every week, what? If we can't reach out to our inner city on a weekly basis because we don't have enough volunteers, what in the world are we praying for revival for? How in the world can we pray for 300,000 when we can't even handle 50? I'm preaching. I'm sweating up here, y'all. But God is releasing heaven now. Now, we all know when heaven hits us. Listen, you know when heaven hits you. You're like, oh, here we go. Okay, God. When heaven hits you, it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and says, you need to. You better do this. You got to do this. You can't neglect this. Hurry up. They're waiting. She's waiting, Troy. She's waiting. It was this, you know, I called her mom, and me and her son were best friends, and her name was Georgia. And Georgia was sick, and she had been sick for a long time. And the doctors, you know, I kept getting reports, and I kept hearing the Lord. I kept hearing the Lord. Heaven just kept, God, just kept harassing me. You ever have heaven harass you? I mean, just heaven started harassing me. It just wouldn't let me sleep. I get up in the morning, and there it is. I go to lunch, and there it is. I walk around, and there. It's there. It's there. It's ever before my eyes. And you know, after a while, I said, okay. I'm going. So I get to the hospital, and I go to pray for Georgia. And when I get there, the doctors tell me, "Oh, Troy," they say, "listen, Pastor," I love how they say that. I love when they say that. I know it's getting ready to be good when they mock me with, you know, "Pastor, that's what. Listen, Pastor, she's not alive. She's dead. She just your stupid faith is not going to work." I love that. I love that. I mean, that. Okay. Amen. And then I turn around and I pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. I groan with utterings unknown to men, and I walk in the room, and as they said, she's laying there and appeared to be dead. And I leaned into her, and I simply said, "Mom, I've come to pray for you." And when I said that, her eyes opened, she sat up in the bed, and she began to cry. She began to cry, and I said this. I said, "You've been waiting for me, haven't you?" I knew it. I felt heaven. I felt it come. I said, "You've been waiting for me?" She said, "Yeah, I've been waiting." I said, "You want me to pray? Are you ready to go home?" "Yeah, I'm ready to go home." I prayed, and it wasn't an hour later. I left, and it wasn't an hour later I got the phone call. Mama went home to be with the Lord. Heaven waits. Heaven waits. Heaven comes in our present moments. I mean, it just comes. It comes every day. And God's saying, "Listen, if you can't handle heaven now, you'll never be able to handle your dreams later. Stop daydreaming and start heaven living." The Lord is declaring, stop living in that window. I've not called you to live in that window. Your name is not Enoch. Get out of there. Says that Enoch walked with the Lord and he was not, so God took him. If you're going to sleep in that window all your Christian life, if that's all you're going to do, you're going to get frustrated and irritated. And anytime anybody says anything, you will find offense with it. You'll be like, "Well, that's not what I..." You'll just be all offended in your spirit, and you will not be able to fulfill that thing for which God has birthed in your spirit. Get out of that window and get into heaven's government now. It is so needed and it is so vital. Bible says there were many lamps burning, and I'll start to close with this. It says that there were many lamps burning. Take me to 8. I don't want to miss anything. 28. And there were many lamps burning in the upper room where they had gathered together. You see, when we gather together, something powerful happens. Do you see, the lamp you carry is vital. It's essential for the path I trod. Can I beseech you today, Ecclesia, to keep your lamp burning? Can I beseech you today to not give way to sinful habits that snuff out lamps, to not give way to lust of your flesh that calls and diffuse the lamp of the Most Holy One? Can I beseech you to live on fire for Christ, because your lamp is needed for my path? The Bible says that the lamp of the Lord illuminates the path of the righteous. And it says that on that day when they assembled in that place, there was an illumination that was taking place. There was illumination. That means it was chasing away the shadows of the enemy. I don't know what shadows exist in this room today, but the Lord wants to illuminate those shadows. He wants to diffuse the darkness that exists in the earth. And look around you, there's shadows everywhere. And I declare today, by the Spirit of the Lord, that God wants to illuminate those shadows. He wants to dissipate. He wants to come in, and He wants to shine in the darkness, and He wants to let Himself be known. He wants where there is weakness to be strength. He wants where there is sickness to be healing. He wants wherever there is darkness to be His illuminated presence. His glory to shine in the darkness is what He desires. So I beseech you, burn, burn, let the world see you burn. Be impassioned with the love of Christ. Be impassioned with your salvation. Don't allow the works of the enemy to overcome you so much so that you blow out your light and you put it down and you climb up into the window. How blasphemous is it to climb up into the high place and go to sleep on God? How blasphemous is it to come into His presence and take a nap rather than to burn, rather than to come into this place and lift your hands long and wide and begin to burn like fire for Him and allow the darkness to be illuminated. Allow heroin to know. Let heroin know that it shall not prevail. Let the spirit of cancer know that you'll burn bright. And even if your light goes out, even if your light goes out trying, the world will know that you set yourself on fire. Give God praise today. Yes, Lord. Let us burn. It's this burning. When lamps are lit in a place, burning occurs. You ever start a fire? It starts off small, but after a while, it begins to burn. Heat comes off of a burning place. A burning place. You see, we get hot enough, it will burn up the dross. You and I get on fire enough. You know what it'll do? It'll embarrass sin. It will. You get hot enough in the Lord, and you keep yourself around a fire, and that heat will cause embarrassment to sin. It'll shame sin rather than sin shame you. It'll wick away. It'll wick away the wetness of sin. It'll dry it up, and it'll cause your heart. You put a wet log on a consuming fire. Lay it on top of it and watch what happens. Suddenly, out of the ends of that flame, what you begin to see happen is the moisture evaporating into nothing. Because the heat of that burning causes the wetness and the moisture inside to come out, to come out, to come out. If we burn strong enough, what will happen in this place? In this community, is that you'll begin to shine lights on the identity of lost souls. You'll shine a light, and you'll shine the light of Christ on somebody, and you'll say, "This is what you really look like, and I see it in you, and I'm not going to let you, I refuse to let you die in sin. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse." Now think of your list, those you pray for. I got a list. I pray for Vernon, Johnny, Brian, Stacy, Kelly, Benji, Carol, Bill, Uncle Chuck, Melissa, Marlena. That's good. That's good. Then I pray for LeBron James and Zydrunas and Jennifer Ogauskas. And I keep adding people, Kim. Yeah. And Donna. And I pray, God, my life burns so much so that it causes them to see who they are clearly, and it shames not them, but the sin. And it causes the sin to leave them. It causes the sin to leave them. If I tell you who you are long enough, You may resist me. You may resist me. You may resist. But I just keep saying, you are anointed. No, I'm not. You are anointed. No, I'm not. You are anointed. You are anointed. You're so anointed that the oil of the Lord falls off of you. You are anointed. You are beautiful. I begin to declare that long enough, it drowns out. Everybody begin to say something. You are anointed. You are anointed. You are. And now suddenly they can't hear you. She can't hear you. All she can hear is me, because my light burns so much so that it drowns out everything else. And it declares what the Lord sees over her. Let's stand to our feet. Let's close. Nowhere near finished. It's happening a lot lately. Play me something sweet that Jesus likes. So I want to pray for you. I'll leave that one there and I'll continue. I want to pray for you today, church. Let's us pray that we either get in the window. Come on. Many of us right now need to find the window. Yeah. Come on. Many of us need to find the window. We've never allowed ourselves to find the place in the Lord where we see the dreams of the Lord that He wants to make come true. And if you're here today and you say, I don't even know this Jesus you speak of, but I certainly feel something, let me introduce you to Him. He's the dream giver. He's the one who awakens the dead. He causes us to be born again. You see, there's this miracle that happens. The old us dies, and there's this rebirth of a new me. I see differently. It says that if you're not born again, the Bible says if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. And so in order for you and me to see the dreams of heaven, there's a prerequisite. You gotta be born again. That's not a religious term. That's heaven's promise. Be born again. Every head bowed, every eye is closed now. Be born again in this moment. How do I do that? It says if you call upon His name, He'll rescue you and save you, and you'll be born again. His name is Jesus. And so everybody praying now, we're just going to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I call upon You. I recognize there is sin in me that needs to die, and that You came so that way it could die. You came, and the sin of me now belongs to You. And now, God, I get Your righteousness, and I can see with eyes of heaven. Save me. I surrender myself now completely in Jesus' name. And for those that are here now and you say, I've been in this window for too long. I've allowed the frustrations of seeing myself out there and not living it here. I have allowed myself to become so frustrated that I've fallen asleep. I've fallen asleep. Truth be told, I'm here. I'm in the third story, but I'm sleeping. And if that's you, I pray an awakening. I pray an awakening to Your spirit, that You would arise and shine. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And God, that in this moment, there would be a release of the heaven's government. Heaven's government would come now. And that, God, You would begin to equip us in the present moment for a dream in the future. For heaven, for what we see from heaven, oh God, give us assignments now that equip us so we're able to sustain the dream when we get there. We bless You, Lord. We thank You now. We pray for this region, oh God. We pray that we would burn like fire, that we would be so illuminating that we would chase shadows away wherever we go. That the love of Christ would burn so brightly in us that shadows would be chased away. We bless You today. We thank You so much for Your presence. We've enjoyed it, Lord. We've received from the bread of heaven today, and we recognize that. And we don't take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. I want to invite the altar workers. They're going to come now. All of the altar workers, if you're here, come quickly. If you need prayer today, if you surrendered your life to Christ, listen, if you gave your life to Christ, we want to pray for you. If you said, if you in that moment when we prayed, you said, that's me. I called upon His name. If you prayed that prayer, we want to pray for you here. We want to give you some equipment. We want to give you like some stuff that's going to help you sustain faith in your life, and it's going to help you just go further in the Lord. So if you prayed that prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need prayer for anything at all, if you stubbed your toe on the way in, if you had a fall, if you whatever it is, we want to pray for you. We believe that the Lord still heals. He still raises the dead, opens blind eyes. He provides deaf for those. He provides hearing for those who are deaf. We just believe in the power of the Lord. A gospel without power is not the gospel. Amen? So if you need prayer, we want you to come. God bless you. Continue to pray. We'll see you Thursday night. Everybody, take out your phone, put it on your come Thursday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week and let Him talk through you. You're welcome to come and receive prayer. Amen.